Welcome to another Saturday on Woods and Water, South Carolina. Hope you're out enjoying the beautiful weather outside. And normally this time you'd, hear me rattle on about the news or starting the calendar of events or various other things. But today it's going to be a long, we've got a lot of stuff to cover, not a whole lot of time. So we're just going to dive in because right now on the line with us, we have a couple of guys who finished off for what in South Carolina's history will probably never happen again. We've had two major bass fishing tournaments, the FLW Cup, the Bassmasters Classic, and then, would you believe it, we had the FLW College Bass Championships in Columbia, South Carolina, and it was won by another South Carolina team. And those guys are on with us today. We got Patrick Walters and Geddes Bannon from the Anglers at USC. Boys, how you doing today?
Roger, we are doing great, and we are glad to be here. Glad to talk to you again, Roger. You know, last time we saw you, it was a little bit of rain out there on the, I think it's the second last day. And we weren't really much in the mood to talk. Yeah, so we're here today. We'll talk a little bit.
Hey, while you were out there on the water, you had a job to do, and you did it very, very well. I enjoyed being out there. It rained on us, Thursday? It was kind of low clouds and a little bit of rain on Friday. And, you know, the sun didn't come out until Saturday, lunchtime or so?
It didn't. And, hey, you know, you had to go to a meeting in Columbia, I believe. And I looked over there. I was talking to Patrick about this earlier. Looked over there at you and said, Roger, I'm going to catch you fish before you leave. Sure enough, the next cast, ended up catching a fish. So, that one ended up keeping, so I guess you're a little bit of good luck. I wish, you know, I bet Pete Reese wouldn't be at you on the second day of flat.
I've had several people ask me about why what was Skeet Reese the whole Bassmasters Classic. I was such good luck on day one.
He should have reserved you.
Yeah, he should have reserved me. Of course, second and third day might have cost him something. You know, I've talked to you guys. Well, I met Geddes last March of 2014 at the Palmetto Sportsman's Classic. He's been on this show. He's helped me out a tremendous amount with catching back up on bass fishing, both professionally and college. Been on the show. You've heard him here before, but we don't know much. I really don't much about either one of them, as far as how they got started fishing or how they got into collegiate bass fishing. So take just a couple of minutes, Patrick, and tell me about how you got going, and then Geddes, you just pick up and take it after Patrick's done.
I really got started in about the eighth grade. I fished my first tournament actually on Lake Murray. It was the Fisherman Legacy Division on Lake Murray, and I went with a buddy of mine, and right after that tournament, I was hooked. I went home that same day, and I told my dad, like, we need to get into bass fishing.
Is that when you turned around and sold all your saltwater stuff?
Yes, sir. We sold our offshore boat and everything. We started out with a flat boat. We had a little inshore boat. We started with that.
Right.
And then we slowly converged, and we got a bass boat, and then went from there. And going through high school, we fished a lot of club tournaments, the Fishers of Men, the CBCs. And then a buddy of ours who used to be the coach of the fishing team, Brett Mitchell, brought the South Carolina fishing team to Scooper River one time for like a little group event to help the guys on the team. And that's when I met him. I was a sophomore in high school. And right when I met him and we took him out, I knew that what I wanted to do. I wanted to take it to the next level and take the club tournament fishing that we always did, my dad and I, and, you know, fish in the college division. It was just a dream I've always had.
Very nice. Very nice. Well, hang on. I got something I want to do here. So just hang on to the line just a second here. I got somebody that wants to talk to you.
Hello?
Hey, we got Anthony Gagliardi on the phone with us. How are you, Anthony?
How's it going? Doing good.
Hey, Anthony, we got Geddes and Patrick from USC, and just figured it'd be really neat to have, you know, champions on this show. And hey, they, you know, we were texting the day out there on the water, and you told them to win by at least more than an ounce, and I think they did the job well, don't you?
They did. They took care of it a little better than I did. that was too close to call on my part. I didn't want them to have to go through that. I was hoping they'd just blow it away, and they did their part, that's for sure.
Guys, anything you want to say to Anthony?
We were cutting it close. I think we only won about one by a pound and a half. It was a little closer than I wanted it to. But
a pound and a half, man, that's huge. That's huge.
Hey,
that's like 24 ounces.
The bad
24
thing
times
is,
my margin.
They only had four fish.
Yeah, that was the thing, Anthony. Liberty only had four fish on the last day.
Yeah, I saw that. I did see that.
Well, I mean,
that makes it tough. I've lost several tournaments because of having four fish on one of the 4 days. So that's a lot better time, and they definitely did it.
Well, Anthony, you started it all off on Murray and the class and the cup, and these guys finished it off, and I tell you, for Woods and Water South Carolina, this has just been an incredible year. I can't thank you guys enough for making it what it is, and then helping me out on the show. It's been great. And
I certainly enjoyed it on my part, on my end too. So it's been a lot of fun for me.
I think I can speak for both Patrick and I too. It's been a lot of fun. It's been a good ride, and we were fortunate enough to be able to hold it up on the college end after Anthony put the stakes pretty high for us.
He did. He sure did. Well, all three of you guys deserve it. We're gonna have a little something here on October, November side-ish, and we'll get back with you on that. But look, congratulations to both of you. I appreciate both you, Anthony and Patrick and Geddes, for coming on. Y'all are good fishermen. What else can you say? Great fishermen.
Well, I appreciate you. I appreciate you having me. And I want to give a special congratulations to Geddes and Patrick. They did a great job, and I'm definitely proud of them. And they'll be in my shoes one day in the not too distant future. I feel pretty sure.
Hey, that's coming from a Clemson graduate too. We really appreciate that.
And you know what? You're going to be fishing the same waters here come August.
Yeah, that's true.
I called Anthony yesterday. I said, Anthony, I said, before we go to the Sportsbook Cup, I said, I need you to take me out to Lake Murray and treat me the worst you can as a boater. He said, there's two rules. He said, don't throw at the cover I'm throwing at, and don't try to cast in front of it.
That's
so
right.
We got to set up that date, and we'll be all right.
Anthony, I appreciate you working me in today. You have a good one.
All right. Sounds good. Take care.
All right. Bye. I just thought you guys might appreciate that.
That's good. Thank you, Roger.
All right. Geddes, tell me a little bit about how you got going.
Well, I started bass fishing probably when I was in about the same time, probably 7th or 8th grade.
Okay.
I started fishing night tournaments, which are a little bit different than day tournaments. They do a completely different feel at night, but they eat a lot, and they, it's a different time of fishing, which is a lot of time. I started out night fishing. Well, it's just a little bit different, but a lot of guys in Carolina did too. Andy Montgomery, Brian Thrift, a lot of those guys started out in Lake Wylie, Lake Norman area. Fishing kind of the same waters that I began fishing then.
Right.
And, I got out there with a couple buddies from Gaffney, and we have a big tournament trail that goes out on Friday nights, and just got really involved with it and started fishing with a few older people that knew a lot about fishing, that were fortunate enough to that I was fortunate enough to be able to garner some help from. And my dad passed away my freshman year, so I didn't have really too much to I didn't have that family legacy, which a lot of people do in fishing. But there were a lot of great guys in Gaffney. A buddy of mine, Sean Wallace, in particular, that stepped up and really showed me what fishing was all about.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, look, on the college level, I mean, in a given season, these seasons are all jumbled up. I tried to keep track of which is which, and it just was beyond me. How many tournaments and how many, I guess, practice runs do y'all make during a given season? And how does schoolwork fit into all that?
I would say college tournaments, we fish at least about 6 a year. You know, mainly during the spring and the summer, one or two in the fall.
Okay.
And it's the weekend prior, we're usually pre-fishing, and sometimes the week before, depends on if we're at school or not. And I actually fish about 20-plus tournaments a year. So in between those tournaments, you got to fit in the club tournaments and all these locals and the CBC tournaments, you know, because I believe, you know, time on the water is key. And if you're constantly fishing, you know, you're constantly learning. And you're just staying in tune with the fish. And trying to fit school in there, it makes it tough. What I say is I do school Monday through Thursday.
Okay.
All-nighters in the library. And then Thursday afternoon to Sunday, it's always on the water. And like Patrick said, being on the water is a lot of the key. But, you know, we do have a lot of tournaments during the spring and summer. That's probably our strongest time.
Okay.
And as we like to say, if we're fishing year round, we're doing something right. So if we make it to those fall tournaments, we make it to the winter tournaments that are usually when the pros have a couple weeks off, or or when we should have a couple weeks off. We're fishing invitationals and qualifiers and stuff. That means we made it the right way.
I got you. Well, what tournament, or how did y'all get into the college championships?
Well, we caught six fish over 2 days at Lake Chickamauga.
And that got you in,
first,
huh?
First, we capped that off with about 25 pounds. Actually, it was over 25 pounds at Lake Gunnersville. That was probably the best ass fishing I've ever had in my career. And we were just really able to catch them there. But at Lake Chickamauga, I'll let Patrick fill you in on that. Just that. Once we did good at Gunnersville, we qualified, we were feeling great. And at that point, we didn't know that the championship was going to be on Lake Murray until we got to Chickamauga.
Oh, wow.
And then they told us and they announced that we had that weight on our shoulders that, we had to qualify. I mean, it's our home lake. And none of the Clemson teams had made it, and nobody else arrived. We were the only team left standing. And on the first day of the Chickamauga tournament, we caught three fish. We thought we weren't going to make the cut. We were going home. And I think we were ending up sitting in 11th or something like that. And we had to make the top 10. And then we went and duplicated it again on the second day with another three fish. And we ended up finishing ninth.
And not only was it a tough tournament, but this is kind of a good time to express my thanks, and I'm sure Patrick's as well, to Todd, Patrick's dad, who's really stepped in and been a good catalyst in our college fishing career, I guess you could say. Because he was looking at us at the ramp after the first day. He said, y'all better get out there and catch some fish tomorrow. So he was kind of looking at us a little bit disappointed, like, all right, y'all need to get out there and catch tomorrow. And, we brought in three more decent-sized fish, and every single fish counted, whether Patrick caught two, I caught one, or I caught two, Patrick caught one. It was one of those moments. I think I caught one that was about 3.5-4 pounds back in the back of the mat the second day. Patrick looked at me. Or no, it was the first day. That's what made our top 15 cut. And Patrick looked at me. He said, hold on to it. Gap braid on them. I turned the trolling motor on high, and we're cut through this mat. So we go through the mat.
Oh, wow.
We net this 4-pounder. We're like, all right, we only got three fish. This still ain't going to cut it. So we come in, and we literally skinned that tournament by the edge of our teeth. I mean, we came in ninth place. We needed to be in the top 10. But after we made that ninth place finish, we knew that if the fish were all fed at Lake Murray, we would be in good shape.
Well, it's obvious when you went into Lake Murray that y'all had a plan, and very simply to me the plan was hit about 20 or 25 spots, stay 10 minutes if they weren't biting, move to the next one if they bit, you stayed there until they didn't bite for 10 minutes and then you moved. In a nutshell, is that pretty much what y'all did?
That was the plan. Originally thinking we were looking at the tournament and where the date set up at, we were really worried that it was going to be on the spawn, like they were going to be up, they were going to be on the bed. And when the fish are on the bed, it makes it, I wouldn't say fair, but, anybody can go catch them is the thing.
Okay.
And we were hoping that they were going to be right on the herring spawn. And we know that when they're doing the herring spawn, you got to hit as many points as you possibly can. Because it's just a timing thing for when you pull up on a point, you're just going to luck up and you're going to load the boat. And it really evens out the field when there's a bed fishing tournament going on, because anybody can go around and see an 8 or 9 pounder on the bed,
right,
and pick it off and really have a really dampen someone that's on like a herring bite or some sort of bait bite. We were fortunate enough to have a lineup where we had 20, like you said, we probably ran 25 spots a day, but we had over, I'd say, 100 spots to run through during practice to figure out where the fish were. And some of the guys that were from out of town, they would have one or two spots that they would sit on.
And oh, yeah.
Wait for them to come up and bite.
Yeah.
Whereas me and Patrick were chasing them, knowing where they would bite with certain wind direction, certain water clarity, certain water temperature, all the way down to the color of the bait. We knew what they were going to bite in each area.
Yeah, some of those guys, when they weighed in, they actually said, we sat there all day long, and then we knew about every 45 and sometimes 60 and sometimes more that school would come up, and they were waiting for that time, and that's when they caught their fish. And I look, from a spectator standpoint, I'm glad y'all were moving.
Hey, we were moving a lot. We probably made you sore sitting up and down, putting on your life jacket.
It kept me from getting bored, let's put it that way.
Hey, you didn't have to throw that trolling motor down 1,000 times.
No, I did not. Although, I did do a little bit of the front end job on the boat the FLW gave me. Oh, Marvin, he was actually my boat driver during the FLW Cup. And they gave him to me again for Friday and Saturday. So we already knew each other, had a good time. And, you know, Marvin's 60-something years old. So I said,
well, hey, Marvin said we were hitting all his spots. We got to watch out for Marvin.
No, Marvin was waypointing all your spots. He's a good fellow, but I actually got up and had fun on the trolling motor a little bit. Been a long time since I've been up on the front of a bass boat, but I did. I had a great time doing it. Well, favorite moment, I mean, okay, besides being on stage, unseating Eastern Carolina University from first place, besides, you know, seeing Liberty with only four fish, okay, everybody knows those are memories and moments that'll just last forever. What's during those 3 days, is there another moment for each of you that just that you'll carry just like that final weigh-in?
Yeah, I think you were there and you're present for the moment. But we were in the back of Bear Creek, and we had just a subpar day going on. I wouldn't say subpar. We were fishing about par that day. We had what we knew we needed to kind of keep us in contingency, but we didn't have anything to boost us up into second place. Well, Patrick throws a Vision 110 jerk bait out, and he twitched it a few times. He had already tried the same thing 3 or 4 or 5 times, so it wasn't like the first cast kind of deal.
Okay.
We knew that there were herring spawning on the particular structure we were fishing, but he hooked into the fish, and he kind of looked at me like he was home. And then he figured out, he was like, all right, I got a big one on. And you'll see a picture that Shane Durant's FLW took, and I think you might have got a picture of it as well.
I think I got the same one, yep.
Yeah, Patrick and I looked like we were Spartans out there fighting. I mean, I looked like I just, you know, you would have thought I caught the fish, but that's because I caught them in the net. Patrick hooked into that good one. He reeled it up, and it was about to come off, and you know, somehow I got him in the net, and we were definitely celebrating after that picture and after that particular moment. We knew that you know, things are starting to look a little better for us.
Yeah, I think I remember that fish. That was one y'all worked a little bit for.
That was definitely, I'd say, the most clutch fish of the tournament we had.
All right, final weigh-in. Nobody knew what any – all right. I got to ask this, Patrick. Geddes, you were kind of just hanging out. You were leaning on the tent. You weren't, but Patrick, you were talking to the guys from Liberty. Did you know before you got up on stage they only had four fish?
It was hard to say because I talked to him once we checked in at the ramp, and I thought he told me they had five fish.
Okay.
And I was talking to him at the tank, and they said they had four good ones. And I was, well, you know, everybody checks everybody's fish, and they peeked in my bag, and I peeked in their bag, and they're like, yeah, we have four good ones. And they opened their bag for me, and the only fish I could see was
that last one
laying on top. And once I saw that, I got a little worried, because he said that he had four good ones. And that, when you only see one 7-pounder, it gets you a little worried. And you know, they told us, you might think I'm always over there socializing, Roger. I got something up my sleeve.
I know you got something up your sleeve. It's just the way you go about it.
I knew what everybody had before we got up there. I told Patrick, I said, as long as they don't somehow miraculously pull out a fifth fish, we're somehow going to pull this thing off. And, you know, talking to the Liberty guys, they kept telling me, it was really close. I told them, I said, I think y'all got it. They kept telling me, they were like, nah, y'all got five, y'all have us. And, it was too close for comfort. You know, Anthony said don't cut it close, but he was also, I think, out and out for Brent Ayler, who also had five fish. So four fish is cutting it way close enough.
Well, I watched, you know, when Liberty didn't pull that fourth fish out, Patrick was white knuckling. Geddes, you had your hands up and kind of pushing your hat up. Your face was getting red. And I was like, Geddes is about ready to pass out.
I thought I was going to pass out. I had the first look at the scales of anybody on the skate besides Chris. And Chris did, and I saw the same view from when Kyle and Ethan from EKU were up there the time before.
Right.
As soon as that number changed, I knew what it was going to say. I just didn't know if it was going to be enough. So, you know, I was sitting there, and I was really stressed out. You know, like I said, I like to socialize. I like to talk. But when Chris Jones looked at me and said, "What you got to say?" I said, "Please, just wait."
You're pretty much direct to the point. Let's just get this over with.
Yeah, let's get it over with. And he got it over with, and we brought it home.
You did, in fine fashion before, I mean, the crowd was kind of thin there for a little bit. Boy, I tell you, it filled in a hurry. A lot of people came from the baseball stadium, had a good crowd going, and boy, I tell you, once y'all took Eastern Kentucky out and were sitting on the hot seat, they were behind you. Man, it was great.
It was a unique experience to be at home and be able to do this. You know, both of our families, both of our girlfriends were there. Got to make sure to cover that day. You know,
you can say that again if you need to.
Yeah, we can mention that one again. But anyway, they were both there. You know, the whole state of South Carolina since the championship has just been very supportive of it. Patrick and I are actually fortunate enough to be going in this week to the South Carolina General Assembly to have a resolution for that particular day, just honoring Patrick and I at the South Carolina Senate and South Carolina House. Which is going to be really neat. But a lot of people in the state of South Carolina have gotten behind us since this win, and it's just been absolutely awesome. And we can't thank them enough. And quite honestly, I don't know if it would happen to the extent it has unless it was at Lake Murray today.
Oh, I can assure you it wouldn't happen like that. I mean, home team, home lake, that's got a lot to do with it. Got about 2 minutes. We're going to break. Can y'all hang on through the break with me?
Yes, sir. Of course.
Okay. Well, look, we got about 2 minutes to go here for the break. Tell me, I mean, y'all have been all over TV, radio, print. Tell me, just fill me in on a couple of the things that y'all been doing since the tournament was over.
Too many interviews. Well, I'll put it to you like this. When Patrick and I first started fishing together, I've worked in the marketing and advertising side of the outdoor industry for a little while, and I've done interviews, and I've done things like that, and Patrick always told me, said, "You catch the fish, I'll catch the fish. You just talk. You make sure they know and they hear what we both need to be saying on behalf of both of us."
Okay.
So about midway through the second or third day, Patrick looks at me and he caught a fish. He said, "Man, these fish are getting unathletic." I said, "All right, I'm officially your media coach. That's the best line you've ever had on fish. You better get up there and say that these fish are unathletic." So I got to give it to Patrick. He's taught me a lot. As far as fishing goes, we've learned a lot from each other. We both have different styles, but I think he'll tell you he's gotten a lot better at the interview.
Well, that's good, because if he doesn't, you will walk all over him. No. I noticed that out on the water, especially on Saturday when you had the TV cameraman with you. Patrick, catch one, get his net it. Geddes been back there showing it to the cameraman, talking to the cameraman. Fish hadn't even gotten wet and alive. Well, Patrick's got another rod in his hand. He's already back fishing.
Well, you know what? That's funny. Patrick's up there. He looked at the camera. He said, "Well, you know, when you're on the roll, you got to keep on fishing." We pulled up to a spot in John's Creek, and I made two key calls on a Lucky Craft crankbait. And the camera kind of was pointed up at me, and I had Patrick back there calling for once. I said, "Hey, you know what? When you're on the road, you got to keep fishing."
Well, look, we're hitting up on this break. Y'all hang on. I'm going to come back. I want to ask you about hot springs, experience on Lake Washita, and what the FLW is going to do for you guys. So just hang on through the break. We'll be back on the other side with more Woods and Water South Carolina. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. We've got Patrick and Geddes from the Anglers at USC. And on the other phone line, we have, we won't call him the sandwich guy, but Casey Ashley, who won the Bassmasters Classic in between Anthony winning the cup and these guys winning the college bass fishing championships. Casey, how are you?
Good. How you doing?
I'm good. Now, you're out in, are you still in Oklahoma or have you crossed over into Texas yet?
I'm on Lake Fork as we speak.
Lake Fork as we speak. This is the first time you've been on Woods and Water. I want to welcome you. Thank you for calling in and being available to us. What do you think about these two?
Man, I tell you, it was a great year for South Carolina. I can tell you that.
Do you?
It was something else. You know, I actually fished the tournament that Anthony won.
That's right. You finished fourth. Yeah.
If I couldn't win, they wouldn't a better person I could have picked to win it. So.
How, Casey, you fished FLW and BSS. Has there ever been a state that you can recall that's had both in the same year and then throw in a college championship to boot?
No. Like I said, it was a great year for South Carolina. I mean, that was something else. I mean, you can't hardly explain it, especially you just take it from the top. You take Anthony, the year that he had coming back and even making the Forestwood Cup.
Yep.
And then to win it on top of that, you know, that just started the Cinderella story in itself.
And then we had you on Lake Hartwell, your home lake, on a bait your dad made for you.
Yeah, that was pretty special. You know, we caught him on that bait for years and years. I mean, since I was a kid.
Right.
I expected that bait to play, but I never thought you could win on it. And, you know, I was getting my stuff ready for the Classic, and I was, you know, real busy, and I called him up. I said, hey, now you're going to have to make me some Blade Runners. He did. When I picked him up, he jokingly said, you know, you're probably going to win the Classic on this. I never in a million years would have dreamed that, but that's how it played out.
And then you had another, and hey, Geddes are from Gaffney. Patrick, you're from Somerville, so you got another two. Even though they go to USC, they're still South Carolina natives, and they win the FLW College Championships, a threefer. For South Carolina, it'd probably never be repeated in the history of bass fishing. At least, let's hope not. Unless,
you know, it'll be hard for that to be repeated.
It will be. It'll be impossible.
It'll be hard for it to be defeated. And I fortunately got to talk to Casey a couple times with the South Carolina Senate GOP on a couple things we've been working on. But you know, we're still working our way up. We're nowhere at the caliber that Casey and Anthony are, and they're both good stewards of the sport. And you know, we're excited to be even included in the same sentence or same phrase as them.
Hey, I tell you, you keep catching them like y'all been catching them. It won't be long.
It won't be long at all.
We appreciate it.
Casey, good luck on the Texas Bass Fest. And look, we're going to have a little South Carolina thing coming up here in October, November. I'll get back with you on that. We kind of get everybody together and maybe roast us a pig or something.
All right. Sounds good.
Hey, Casey, we still good on that?
Thanks for coming. Go ahead, guys.
We still good on that?
Yeah, we're still good on that.
All right, good to go.
Casey, thanks, bud. Have fun.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All righty.
All right, bye-bye.
Well, y'all been in some good company today, taking me out of the equation, of course. All right, Hot Springs, Arkansas. Now, for those that don't know, and I'm a master at this because I have attended one FLW Cup now. Patrick, you'll be fishing as the driver and the guy on the front of the boat. Geddes, you'll be fishing as the co-angler on the back of the boat. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
That's right.
FLW is going to give you all a boat when you get there. It'll be wrapped with USC colors, I'm sure.
Yes, sir. They're giving it to us actually 30 days prior to the tournament so we can get used to it and get our hands on it.
Are y'all going up to pre-fish for the tournament during the pre-fish tournament? I mean, the pre-fish time?
Sir. Yes, we will. We'll probably end up going up together, and we'll end up practicing together out of that boat that they furnished for us. But you know, as Patrick likes to say, he's going the next couple of years of college fishing, but eventually, most likely, we're going to jump to the pro circuit. He likes being in control of the boat, so he luckily got that draw. Pretty good, and I'll be in the back of the boat trying to fish behind Andy Morgan, Casey Ashley, Anthony Gagliardi, and those guys, and just trying to pick up a couple.
Sure. You just don't want to come out empty-handed, right?
Well, maybe I'll learn something.
You probably will. You'd be amazed how much you learn fish just watching those guys fish. And that's from me watching, you know, both Anthony and those guys on Lake Murray and the guys on Lake Hartwell. It's amazing what you just pick up just watching them. So I'm sure y'all will learn a lot. FLW is bringing y'all up there. It's all paid for. How much of your family's going up with you?
All of them.
All of them.
It's going to be a big crew.
I'll be there, which is going to be really cool because I was going for Anthony anyway.
You know, I heard, I talked to Joe Oppenheimer with FLW, the public relations guy earlier, and he told me, he said, you're not going to believe this, but I've had numerous media outlets in South Carolina say they're coming up to the Cup just to root for y'all. I said, well, maybe Roger's in that mix. I hope he is.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm there.
You follow me around because I need a big fish.
I'll follow. Well, now, wait a minute. Now you're asking me to split my allegiances here. Anthony or you guys. I mean, I will follow you some, and of course, we'll see you every day. I'm up there and all. Are you getting any advice? I mean, have either one of you fished Lake Washita before?
Never been out there. You know, I've been to Arkansas multiple times. It's my first time I went to Arkansas. I was about 3 years old. Every time I went out there, it was for duck hunting.
Okay.
Wanted to go out there and go bass fishing, but we've duck hunted out there for 15, 18 years now and never bass fished out there. So it's going to be something new.
Yeah.
I've talked to Andy Montgomery and Anthony and a couple of the other professional guys that told me, they said, well, if the fish are deep, you'll be able to catch a few. But if they're shallow and you get behind Andy Morgan or you get behind somebody that's just shallow water specialist,
right?
You better count your cards and hope to pick up a couple.
Yeah.
So they're either going to be shallow and wolf pack, or they're going to be out deep. So we'll just wait and see what happens there. I know Anthony mentioned to me the other day that the last couple tournaments FLW has had there, it's been one shallow. So we'll get to see closer time.
What do you want to bring home from the Classic?
$500,000.
Hey, there's nothing like having a plan.
You're right. Yeah, and I'm shooting for a minuscule $50,000, but you know, I definitely cannot complain about this this opportunity that FLW has given us. Like I said, it's been like I've been in a rocket and just shot out since we won. I mean, it's been crazy. You know, we're both really happy about the guaranteed paycheck too, but we won't get into that until after class. I mean, to the Cup. Hopefully we'll win a little bit.
Well, we are going to drum up support for you guys between now and August like you have no clue.
We need all the support we can get. We want to get out there. We want to have a lot of people out in the South Carolina out there yelling for
it. That's it. We're going to put y'all's faces on the papers across the state. How's that?
Sounds perfect. Hey, we're ready for it.
Well, look, you got Woods and Water South Carolina behind you. Anytime you guys
want.
Hey,
you're on our jersey, too.
Do what now?
I said, you're on our jersey, too.
That's right.
We got you actually in front of us.
That's right. You have me in front of you. That's exactly right. And supposedly there's a jersey for me somewhere.
I think we'll be all right.
Is there a jersey for me somewhere?
Yes, there is, actually.
Well, look, we're going to be behind you. We're going to follow you. I'll be there with you. Can't wait. Cannot wait.
Well, we appreciate you having us on today, Roger, and it's a pleasure as always.
Good enough, guys. Y'all have a good few weeks, months off, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All righty.
Yeah, Roger. Bye-bye.
Bye. It has been an incredible year for bass fishing in South Carolina. I don't see how that will ever, what these guys have done will ever be matched or superseded. I mean, seriously, the FLW Cup, the Bassmasters Classic, the FLW College Championships, all on South Carolina lakes, all won by South Carolina anglers on their home lakes to boot. Just incredible. And it has been a pleasure, and I really have enjoyed it. The Cup was my first big event as part of this radio show, the Classic, and it is. You wouldn't realize how much fun you can have watching some of these guys until you do it. So if you have a chance to get out on the water at some of these tournaments, even the local ones are fun. But with these big names and then having both Anthony and Patrick and Geddes in Hot Springs, I cannot wait for that week. That is going to be so much fun for all of us involved. And I hope you enjoyed listening to those guys. They are two of the nicest kids, polite, respectful, and you see that across the spectrum in the outdoors. When you've got young men involved, young women involved, they are what you would expect from a conservationist or a, at their age, a professional, really. Professional student, semi-professional bass fisherman. They're a bunch of good kids. The whole club is a good club. And it was one of those chance meetings. You know, I was at the Palmetto Sportsman's Classic in 2014. Went down an aisle, took a right, and there they were. And, of course, Geddes has never met a stranger. And we started talking and just hit it off. And I owe a lot to him. I owe a lot to getting me back into bass fishing, introducing me to some of these guys. I was with him at ICAST last year in Orlando. So I can't say enough and be appreciative enough to Geddes for what all he's done for Woods and Water South Carolina. So having said that, we're going to hit a few things on the calendar of events. And then I've got Memorial Day is this weekend. And I want to share a little bit about Memorial Day. So if you're out at the Scottish Games this weekend, I got an email from Kara Bale down at the Avian Conservation Center for Birds of Prey. They're going to have two demonstrations on Saturday. I know one's at 9:30 in the morning. That's not going to do you a whole lot of good. I don't know in the afternoon when it is, but they're 30 minutes long. But they're going to have a lot of birds out there from the Birds of Prey Center. Let's see. Large Harris Hawk, a falcon, Eurasian kestrel, black vulture, and a couple of owls. So if you're there, go by and look at those. They're a great organization. They were down at SeaWee, and the email she sent me says, next time you're in Charleston, please come by and let me give you a tour. So going to have a little bit more from the Centers for Birds of Prey coming up. May the 26th, and we've talked about this before, the Coyote Biology and Control Program here in South Carolina, but DNR, they're going to have one in Greenwood on the 26th, 5 to 9. Now it says here registration by May the 22nd. I'm sure if it's not full, they'll take more. So you might want to contact DNR. That's J. Butt Velosky. His number, 803-734-4024. Great seminar on coyotes. Hope you'll go. All us deer hunters need to become coyote hunters right now. Now's when the fawns are dropping. Now's when they need the help. And let's give it to them. And a couple weeks ago, I hit on hiking safety. Well, South Carolina State Parks thinks it's a good idea, too, because May the 30th from 10 to 4, you can go to Kings Mountain State Park in Blacksburg and attend a hiking safety course. It says, have you ever thought about going for a hike but have some questions about safety, where to go, or what should you take with us? Come out to Kings Mountain State Park for hiking safety to learn the do's and don'ts of hiking. Discuss basic skills, outdoor safety rules, so you and your family can have a fun and safe outing. Again, that's May 30th, 10 to 4, Kings Mountain State Park. NRA is having an Upcountry Patriots Friends of NRA banquet. It's here in Greenville, South Carolina, the Shrine Club, 119 Beverly Road. It's the contacts, our good friend Chuck Barnes, out at Lake Cunningham, Lake Robinson with Greer CPW. You can call the warden's office. If not, his email is chuck.barnes, B-A-R-N-E-S, at greercpw.com. Junior U.S. Open Sporting Clays Tournament is going to be held at Backwoods Quail Club. That's June the 5th through the 7th. That's in Georgetown, South Carolina. This is a very cool place to be. You don't want to miss this. Coaches, parents, shooters, registration forms must be turned in by June the 1st. Schedule of events, it's a $225 entry fee per three-man team starting on Friday. The rotations on Saturday and Sunday, 100 targets each day for a total of 200 clays. Practice areas will be open at 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Games such as Long Bird and Make a Break. And I remember when I used to shoot a lot of sporting clays, that Long Bird. I mean, throwing that thing 40, 50, 60 yards out there. That was fun trying to hit that bird. And when somebody did, it was really neat to watch it. Everybody was kind of in awe. So if you're a sporting clays, a junior sporting clays shooter, this is one for you, Backwoods Quail Club. You can go to their website, get all the information there. June the 6th, is National Trails Day. We're going to have more on this on the next show. Palmetto Conservation Foundation invites you, along with the Glendale Outdoor Leadership School, to participate. And it's a American Hiking Society's National Trails Days 2015. We'll bring together enthusiasts for the 23rd annual celebration of America's magnificent trail system, including South Carolina's Palmetto Trail. And they're going to hike a few sections of it in conjunction with the South Carolina State Parks. So if you flip over from the Palmetto Conservation website to the South Carolina State Parks, you'll see National Trails Day celebration at Croft State Park, June the 6th through the 7th. Deadline for registration is June the 2nd. You also have a National Trails celebration at Poinsett State Park on June the 6th from 8 to 9. And another, it's a camp out actually, at Table Rock State Park, June the 6th to June the 7th. So, National Trails Day is coming up. We're going to have more on that from people that know more, of course, than I do. And hope you make, but block off those days. If you want to go to one of those places, go ahead and register. If not, make your own trail day. Go somewhere to a trail you like or one you don't know. But get outside. That's June the 6th. Like I said earlier, Memorial Day is coming up. And I wanted to, a lot of people have either don't remember or just never knew what Memorial Day is all about. So we're going to take the last few minutes here and talk about Memorial Day. And Memorial Day, originally called Decoration Day, and this is actually from the National Memorial Day website, is a day of remembrance for those who have died in service of the United States of America. Regardless of the exact date or location, one thing is clear: Memorial Day was born out of the Civil War and a desire to honor our dead. It was officially proclaimed on May the 5th, 1868, by General John Logan, National Commander of the Grand Army of the Republic, in his General Order No. 11. It reads, the 30th day of May, 1868, is designed for the purpose of strewing with flowers or otherwise decorating the graves of comrades who died in defense of their country during the late rebellion and whose bodies now lie in almost every city, village, and hamlet churchyard in the land. The date of Declaration Day, as he called it, was chosen because it wasn't the anniversary of any particular battle. Now, if you're from the South, of course, you have a little different view on this. But, well, with that having been said, we'll go on. In the first Decoration Day, General James Garfield made a speech at Arlington National Cemetery, and 5,000 participants decorated the graves of the 20,000 Union and Confederate soldiers buried there. The first state to officially recognize the holiday was New York in 1873. By 1890, it was recognized by all the northern states. The South refused to acknowledge the day, honoring their day on separate days until after World War I, when the holiday changed from honoring just those who died fighting the Civil War to honoring Americans who died fighting in any war. It's now observed in almost every state on the last Monday in May with congressional passage of the National Holiday Act of 1971. This helped ensure a three-day weekend for federal holidays, through several southern states have an additional separate day for honoring the Confederate dead: January 19th in Texas, April the 6th in Alabama, Florida, Georgia, and Mississippi, May 10th here in South Carolina, and June 3rd, which is Jefferson Davis's birthday, in Louisiana and Tennessee. Now, you may have heard some about the red poppies. In 1915, inspired by the poem In Flanders Fields, Moina Michael replied with her own poem, "We cherish, too, the poppy red that grows on fields where valor led. It seems to signal to the skies that blood of heroes never dies." She then conceived an idea to wear red poppies on Memorial Day in honor of those who died serving the nation during war. She was the first to wear one and sold poppies to her friends and co-workers, with the money going to benefit servicemen in need. Later, a Madame Guerin from France, was visiting the United States and learned of this new custom started by Mrs. Michael. When she returned to France, she made artificial red poppies to raise money for war orphan children and widowed women. The tradition spread to other countries. National Moment of Remembrance. This resolution was passed on December 2000, which asked that at 3 p.m. local time, for all Americans to voluntarily and informally observe in their own way a moment of remembrance and respect, pausing from whatever they are going to do for a moment of silence or listening to taps. Just quickly, observance kind of goes through a little bit of the same thing. And they talk about placing flags in Arlington National Cemetery. Some of the others, I know I saw a story from the Island Packet down in Beaufort. They are actually doing that today, and today being Wednesday, before Memorial Day weekend. they do this in Arlington, and you know, it would be a neat thing if you and your family might go and do something similar in a cemetery that you know of where there are veterans born and died and buried. And I went to, I looked, I love Ronald Reagan, as a lot of people do, and I looked for one of his Memorial Day speeches. And I found this one from Memorial Day, May 16th, 1982. He was at Arlington National Cemetery. And it goes something like this. I have no illusions about what little I can add now to the silent testimony of those who gave their lives willingly for their country. Words are even more feeble on this Memorial Day, for the sight before us is as that of a strong and good nation that stands in silence and remembers those who were loved and who, in return, loved their countrymen enough to die for them. Yet we must try to honor them, not for their sakes alone, but for our own. And if words cannot repay the debt we owe these men, surely with our actions we must strive to keep faith with them and with the vision that led them to battle and to final sacrifice. Our first obligation to them and ourselves is plain enough. The United States and the freedom for which it stands, the freedom for which they died, must endure and prosper. Their lives remind us that freedom is not bought cheaply. It has a cost. It imposes a burden. And just as they whom we commemorate were willing to sacrifice, so too must we. In a less final, less heroic way, be willing to give of ourselves. It is this, beyond the controversy and the congressional debate, beyond the blizzard of budget numbers and the complexity of modern weapon systems, that motivates us in our search for security and peace. The willingness of some to give their lives so that others might live never fails to evoke in us a sense of wonder and mystery. One gets the feeling here on this hallowed ground, and I have known that same poignant feeling as I looked out across the rows of white crosses and stars of David in Europe, in the Philippines, and the military cemeteries here in our own land. Each one marks the resting place of an American hero, and in my lifetime, the heroes of World War I, the Doughboys, the GIs of World War II, Korea, or Vietnam. They span several generations of young Americans, all different and yet all alike, like the markers above their resting places, all alike in truly magnificent ways. As we honor their memory today, let us pledge that their lives, their sacrifices, their valor should be justified and remembered for as long as God gives life to this nation. I can't claim to know the words of all the national anthems in the world, but I don't know of any other that ends with a question and a challenge as ours does. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave? That is what we must ask. Once each May, amid the quiet hills and rolling lanes and breeze-brushed trees of Arlington National Cemetery, far above the majestic Potomac and the monuments and memorials of our nation's capital just beyond, the graves of American military dead are decorated with a beautiful flag that in life these brave souls followed and loved. This scene is repeated across our land and around the world, wherever our defenders rest. Let us hold it our sacred duty and our inestimable privilege on this day to decorate these graves ourselves with a fervent prayer and a pledge of true allegiance to the cause of liberty, peace, and country for which America's own have ever served and sacrificed. Our pledge and our prayer this day are those of free men and free women who knows that all we hold dear must constantly be built up, fostered, revered, and guarded vigilantly from those in every age who seek its destruction. We know, as have our nation's defenders down through the years, that there can never be peace without its essential elements of liberty, justice, and independence. Those true and only building blocks of peace were the lone and lasting cause and hope and prayer that lighted the way of those whom we honor and remember this Memorial Day. To keep faith with our hallowed dead, let us be sure, and very sure, today and every day of our lives, that we keep their cause, their hope, their prayer, forever our country's own. That was Ronald Reagan, Memorial Day, 1982. And I hope that you will, on this Memorial Day weekend, remember what we're celebrating. It's the deaths of all the people who, frankly, and allow us to do what we're doing right now, talking on the radio and you listening, hunting, fishing, outdoors. Remember what Memorial Day is all about. And just like that, another show is over. I had some news here about National Archery and School Program. I will tell you that the feds opened up the offshore waters for shrimp, for the shrimp trawlers to go out. I talked to Carolina Seafood this morning. And, hey, this weekend there should be fresh South Carolina shrimp in McClellanville. Comes offshore, but this is a good big white shrimp. So, I hope you have a great Memorial Day weekend. Chuck Norris for this week? Well, Chuck Norris can find the end of a circle. I hope you get out there this weekend. It's a great weekend to go out with your friends, family, kids. Load them all up. Be careful and be safe when you get out there. Take the back roads when you can. And please don't forget that camera. I'll talk to you next Saturday. I'm from Carolina.